Just off the coast, to the north of Israel, is the island city of Tyre. And a long time ago, it was an unconquerable fortress. Its high walls were surrounded by the sea on every side, so it seemed like no one would ever be able to take it. And yet Alexander the Great captured the city by building a dirt ramp out to it, so that the once impregnable fortress was conquered and fell. And likewise, far to the east in ancient Babylon, that city was surrounded by walls that were the stuff of legend. It was a city that people thought would never be conquered, a city that people thought would last forever. And yet Cyrus the Great diverted the Euphrates River that passed through the city, so that his army was able to march on the now empty riverbed and capture it for his own. And likewise, far to the northwest stood Constantinople, what is now Istanbul. And its system of walls across the Golden Horn were the marvel of the medieval world. But Mehmed the Conqueror captured the city. He battered down the walls with his great bombard cannons so that the once proud Constantinople fell. History is full of stories of fortresses that were thought to be undefeatable, which were later destroyed. And that's the picture that Paul uses in our epistle reading for today from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." But the strongholds that he's talking about here are not the strongholds of this world. We are not laying siege to castles. Rather, these are spiritual strongholds. Paul is talking about a war that is waged in our minds. Because every thought which is contrary to God or what he has established, and every idea which contradicts what God has clearly revealed in his word, is like a spiritual wall in our minds, a wall that tries to separate itself from God so that it can be master behind it and not have to submit to him. But every knee will bow before Christ. All will call him Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that also includes our thoughts and our ideas. Paul says again in verse 5, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." But taking every thought captive, Christians, means that we need to think. Taking every thought captive means we have to examine everything in the light of God's word. Taking every thought captive means we need to compare everything with what God says so that we can see what is opposed to his word and that we can hold on to what is good. Because our world is filled with all kinds of ideas. We are constantly bombarded with them, sometimes openly, but most often in a hidden way. And not all of it is good. Are we always aware of where the ideas that we encounter might lead? Are we always on guard against anything that is opposed to God? We must carefully look at everything that we see and hear and speak out against that which is contrary to the Word of God. Let me use a couple of examples to show you what I mean. Take communism as an example. Very common in our world today. And honestly, at first glance, it might sound pretty good. I mean, who doesn't want to help people? Who doesn't want to speak out against evil practices or somebody fighting against somebody else? Who would want to defend terrible working practices and treat people like dirt? Yeah, at first glance, it does sound pretty good. But then when you look a little bit closer, you see so much of it is opposed to God's word. Communism creates a victim mentality so that everything evil is always somebody else's fault, meaning that there is no such thing as sin. There is only the oppressed and the oppressor. And communism teaches that the church is one of those systems of oppression, that it is something which needs to be removed from this world. And likewise, communism teaches that salvation is to be found in this world by finding a material paradise where everything will be perfect once we get there. Yes, it is a system which is opposed to God, and therefore we must speak out against it and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Or let's take feminism as another example. At first glance, again, it sounds pretty good. I mean, we as Christians should be the last to treat women as anything less than what God intended. Does not Paul himself say, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, giving himself up for her"? And yet when we look a little bit closer, we see that feminism has taught so many women to be generally unhappy, to be constantly chasing after an ever-changing goal. And it so often does not deliver the equality that it promises, but rather treats men like the enemy. And worst of all, it teaches that what the Bible says about God's design for women, evil. So the people cannot even hear what Paul says about wives submitting to their husbands without taking offense. Here is another stronghold that has set itself up against God. And we are called to take every thought captive. But Christians, I don't want you to get the impression that this warfare is only something out there, as if we are only called to fight and to speak against what other people think and say. Rather, taking every thought captive begins first and foremost within ourselves. We are called to examine our own hearts first. We are called to consider our own thoughts first, and to tear down those strongholds in our own mind first, so that we can then speak clearly to remove the speck from someone else's eye. Because if we're unwilling to correct ourselves, what right do we have to correct anyone else? I mean, take the Reformation as an example, which of course we are celebrating today. 500 years ago, the church was filled with corruption. False teachings had crept in everywhere, so that there were all kinds of strongholds which were opposed to God. It made it very difficult to hear the gospel. But God used men like Martin Luther to bring about a change so that those strongholds were torn down and the corruptions were taken away. But we should not think that our work is somehow over, Christians. That because the Reformation has happened, we are never in danger of the same thing again. We must always be ready to examine ourselves in the light of God's word, to always be ready to ask questions and to reform ourselves when necessary, so that we are always seeking after the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that's true of the entire church, it's also especially true for us as individual Christians. We are not called to rest on our own laurels, to think that we're somehow perfect, that there's nothing that needs to change within us, that we are totally uncorrupted by the world. Rather, we individually are called to examine ourselves, to ask ourselves questions, to always be learning, always be thinking, and to always be ready to change, so that we would be willing to root out even ideas which have been in our minds for a very long time, to be willing to change even those things at the very core. Because Jesus is Lord, Christians. Jesus is Lord of our words. Jesus is Lord of our actions. Jesus is Lord of our thoughts. And we are called to tear down all of those things which are opposed to him, so that he may be all in all, not only in all of creation, but also within our individual lives. But such change and such willingness to change is not something that comes from within us. By nature, of course, we would be totally unwilling. Rather, this willingness, Christians, this desire to reform, comes as a gift of the Holy Spirit, who is at work within us each and every day. Because the Spirit made us to be Christians in the first place. The Spirit called us to faith in God when we were totally opposed to him. The Holy Spirit tore down the wall that we had built against God while we were still walking in darkness. And the Spirit will continue to tear down the walls which still remain, purifying us and sanctifying us in all of our thoughts and words and actions, until the day when the last stronghold of sin will be torn down, until the day when we will be fully purified, until the day when we will sin no more. Because on the day that Christ returns, Christians, the last stronghold will be defeated. And Jesus will be Lord over all things to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, cleanse our thoughts and our minds so that you are Lord over all things in all of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.